Lynn Hirschman Leeson is chair of the film department at the San Francisco Art Institute and emeritus at the University of California, Davis. She's a multimedia artist and filmmaker whose works include photographs, sculptures, 3 award-winning films, and interactive installations. Her works have been acquired by the Museum of Modern Art, ZKM in Germany, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, the National Gallery of Canada, etc. Commissions include projects for the Tate Modern, San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, the Young Museum, Stanford University, etc. She was honored by the Digital Art Museum in Berlin with the Develop Digital Art Award, the most distinguished honor for lifetime achievement in the field of new media, the latest of many awards that include the Siemens International Media Arts Award, the Pre-Ars Electronica, I don't remember what else, etc. The list of her works would be very long. I'll just mention a few. Dante Hotel, mid-70s, a simulated hotel room in real life and real time that reconstructs fictional occupants through fragments of their identity. The Roberta series, simulated person who interacts with real life in real time. Lorna, 1984, the first interactive laser art disc in which the spectators have the power of directing the protagonist's life. Deep Contact, 1984, in which the user is allowed to interact with the woman's body parts via touch screen that changes the story based on the body part that is touched. Room of One's Own, a reverse peep show. The Dolly's Clone, networked telerobotic humanoids. Agent Ruby, 2002, an artificial intelligent agent with the capacity to develop her memory by interacting with users. The feature film Conceiving Ada, 1997, about a computer scientist who tries to genetically resurrect the woman who wrote the first computer algorithm more than a century ago. I can't remember her last name.
Ada Lovelace.
The feature film Technolust, 2002, about clones and cyborgs. And recently, Women Art Revolution, a history of feminist art that took how many years? 42 years to complete. So, lots of questions. First of all, is there a theme throughout this work in the high-tech society we live in?
Absolutely. I think that all of the work is really about how technological society shapes our identity, the idea of surveillance and capture systems and the availability of information of who we are has deeply affected the context in which we live. And I think that all of these works really examine that and examine kind of the DNA structure of culture as well as of individuals.
Is there a conclusion about the situation, our position towards identity in this world?
No, because I think that we're constantly evolving, and I think that we're constantly also mutating as a method of survival. So in order to have closure on it would mean the end of our species.
Now, to do this, your trajectory crossed so many media, and that also has always been intriguing to me. Drawings, paintings, photographs, sculptures, video, internet, and so forth. First of all, why? What? I mean, you could have just focused on paintings to talk about identity. Why so many different medias and the challenges? I mean, isn't that challenging to keep changing the medium you're using?
Yeah, that's why I do it. I mean, I think it confuses people because they can't see, they can't understand the work I do or what the themes are in all of the work, but really the theme is the same in all of them. But I think it's really exciting to work with the technology of one's time and even to invent some of the technology of one's time in order to resolve some of the issues or ask some of the questions. And that's what I do with those, try to do with this work.
Now, in a sense, you just touched on it. Technological innovation has been a big part. You basically did DVDs before they invented them. You used touchscreen, robotics, virtual reality, artificial intelligence. So there's also a component, strong component of interest in technological things, but you don't have the background of the engineer.
No, I have no background. And in fact, I can't do anything. But, I live in the Bay Area where there's all this great talent. And I find people to enliven the ideas that I have. And sometimes technologists don't see the applications that could be possible with particular things. Or sometimes we just develop, like with the touch screen or with the artificial intelligence. I just work with varying programmers, and we work together and kind of extend the possibilities of that medium as we work together.
So your career has been entirely artistically in the Bay Area. Would you say the Silicon Valley had an impact, was a factor in the, in the
I really think so, because I think in the Bay Area, you almost breathe the idea of technology and of different programs. You see things in a different light than one would in New York or even in Europe, because of the access and because of the information being transmitted. So I'm sure that I wouldn't have done this kind of work if I didn't live here.
Another aspect I see in your work is the interaction between humans and machines.
Right.
Are we cyborgs already?
I think in many ways we are. We have artificial implants. Even the idea of a contact lens turns us into a cyborg. Our reliance on information systems in order to guide our lives through various social media has made almost a kind of symbiosis between machines and humans. And I think that's only going to go further.
The Roberta series is one thing that really interested me because I see that it started as you playing another person,
Right.
right? Physically playing another person, right? But then it seems to have evolved. It's not dead, right? It's still going on somehow.
Yeah, well, she kind of mutates into other forms. It started with me because nobody else would do it. And then I had multiples that performed as her. And then I had a telerobotic doll that was called Cyber Roberta that was based on her. And then eventually she was in Second Life also, and she recreated herself there. So she seems to continue to live in varying ways.
So is this like you? Is this a sort of fictional autobiography
No,
in different?
because it's not really me, because she's really a reflection of culture and what culture does to her and her identity. I kind of watch it as a witness, but she's her own person, very different from me.
there's a strong component of social commentary in what you do, and the latest project, Women Art Revolution, is basically a history of feminist art over 40 years, which by coincidence or design spans from the civil rights movement to the Obama presidency, right? So it's history, autobiography.
Yeah, it's a memoir, and it can't really be a total history because it's only the people that I happen to know, that I happen to interview, even though, I had so much footage it would have taken 3.5 months just to watch it one time. We had 65 or so interviews of people over the years, different artists telling their experiences. And at the time, we didn't even know that it was a feminist art movement because it wasn't named yet. But it's not a coincidence that it came out of the free speech movement, the civil rights movement, the Black Panthers. These things all impacted on gaining power and autonomy in a culture that was exclusive and censored much of the work that was being done.
And so again, you were in the right place, both because of the technology and because of the ideology that was coming out of the Bay Area.
Well, it's nice to think of that as the right place. It just happened to be that I was here and these possibilities erupted. So I was very fortunate that I did have the access, in a sense, to build these projects from that.
So of all these different media and works you've done, And you said that it's fascinating to use a new medium. Can you give us an example of something that particularly you remember fondly as, a learning experience or?
Well, I think if you don't learn from them, what's the point of doing them? So I learn from every one and try not to repeat what we've already proven or what we've already done, unless we're repeating it consciously, of say repeating something three times to prove we could do it that way. So, it's just each one is very exciting, whether it's evolving a touch screen, whether it's creating a work outside of an art museum in a site-specific location like the Dante Hotel, which was maybe one of the first artworks that went beyond the museum constraints, or whether it's creating artificial intelligence that can do more than people expected the possibilities for it to do, or using a Wii controller in a flashlight to bring back lost memories, which we've done in the last piece, which is called Raw War. So each one is exciting, and each gesture invites new ways of perceiving the edges that we're in culture.
Final question, what do you love about today's world? And I don't want to use the word hate. What do you fear about today's world?
I think what we're moving towards is kind of a hive mind, and that we, with social media, we have the ability to communicate globally in a way that we never could, and therefore use the resources of the world to solve problems, to maybe create answers or solutions to inequity, to pollution, to survival. I think one of the things that's difficult now is the idea of greed and how much greed has infiltrated our lives. And I think that people say, well, the planet's in trouble because of global warming, but the real cause is greed and corporate greed. So that's disappointing, and that's something that we're going to have to use all of our resources and energy to overturn. But I'm really heartened by the Occupy movement, by the 99%, and the strength that they're gathering in taking a stand against that kind of strategy.
Thank you.
Yeah.